Monday Night History. Christina McPherson is a woman whose name you might not know, but who was involved in two historic events in Australian history. She was born in country Victoria near Wangaratta, and it was while she was still a baby that her family was involved in the shooting of the notorious bushranger, Mad Dog Morgan. And then, years later, she's believed to have been involved in helping Banjo Paterson figure out what music to use for Waltzing Matilda. She may have also helped to break off his engagement to another woman. Were there some handsies on the piano keyboard? Helen Goltz is our guest. She's one of the authors of the Grave Tales series, which take the stories of people buried in cemeteries in particular parts of Australia and tell their sometimes forgotten stories. The latest edition is Grave Tales Melbourne, and it's in Melbourne, of course, where you can find the grave of Christina McPherson. Helen Goltz joins us this evening. Helen, good evening, and welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks very much for having me back.
It's great to have you with us again, too. Let's start with the story of the day that Mad Dog Morgan came to the McPherson's property near Wangaratta. Who was Mad Dog Morgan anyway?
Well, he was quite a notorious bushranger at the time, a ruthless bushranger and a murderer. He'd been known for killing policemen. He'd had been a robber. And, you know, he was a wanted man. And he had this technique of going to farms and estates, and he'd make the owners actually serve the staff. It was sort of a bit of a Robin Hood in reverse, and that was quite kind of his style. But on this day, as you mentioned, it was a Saturday on April 8th, 1865, when he went to the McPherson family's home. And the station's co-owner, George Rutherford, had a property about half a kilometre or a quarter of a mile away. So there was somebody on a nearby property. But on this day, he'd gone to the McPhersons, and they were a relatively large and quite well-to-do family. And Christina, at the time, was only about a 9 or 10 month old baby when Mad Dog and his men arrived.
Okay.
And they insisted on being fed and having entertainment and alcohol and the whole bit.
So they would arrive and terrorise people and wave guns around, did they? And
exactly that. So they made everybody, they literally took everybody hostage, and they were a family, eventually a family of about 11 children, but at that stage Christina was the ninth child. So they had staff, they had nannies, they had the governess, they had the cook, so they had stable hands, etc. So there's quite a lot of people on the estate, and he's Mad Dog and his men have come in, and they've literally taken the family and the servants hostage, locked them in the main room, forced the poor old governess to play the piano for the entertainment and the staff to bring him food and drink and so forth. Meanwhile, baby Christine is in the other room and started to cry. So this could have been very bad. We might never have got Waltzing Matilda, but that didn't happen.
So that's right, being unaware that she should be quiet because she's a baby, she'd annoy the bushranger in the next room, she begins to cry. How does Mad Dog respond, apparently?
Well, there was a young girl by the name of Alice Keenan who was quite brave, young Alice, and she was the nurse, and she said to him, he more or less said, keep that brat quiet. And she said, well, I've got a sick child, can I go to her? And he said, go to her. So she went in and tried to keep Christina quiet. But on the way, she, as she went past the kitchen, she saw the milkman, and she sent him off to Mr. Rutherford, the neighbouring property, and told him to get the police. Yeah. And surprisingly, Christina's mother was absolutely furious at her, she would tell later, because she thought she'd endangered their lives by doing that. So she sent poor old Alice down to the men's hut then, telling them all to make no noise and don't let on. So poor old Alice, you know, here's this poor little nurse, has had to leave Christina in the other room, probably hoping that she'd stop crying or long enough for her to get down to the men and tell them, you know, keep quiet, Morgan and his mates are in the house.
Oh, I see. So what is the idea that if everyone just plays ball, that Mad Dog will eat and drink and then he'll leave at some point and no one gets shot?
Yeah, and that had happened, of course. You know, not everybody was all, you know, he didn't have a trail of murder at every place.
Right.
But yes, that would have happened. Christina's mother, Mrs. Rutherford, thought, well, Mrs. McPherson thought, if we keep quiet, play along, do what he says, he'll take the men, he'll steal a few horses and off he'll go the next day. So she was furious that Alice might have put them in jeopardy by going to get the police, and that if the police were seen approaching or any of Mad Dog's, you know, men saw them approaching, they might end up killing the whole family.
So on hearing what was going on at the next property, what did George Rutherford do?
Well, he got some workers bearing arms and he let the police know, and they formed this party, a good-sized party of armed vigilantes, basically.
Right.
And they surrounded the place. So poor old Alice by the stage had sort of snuck back into Christina's room, thank goodness, and everything was okay. But so the next morning, Mad Dogs headed out to the stockyards to select a few horses to steal, and that's when he was surrounded and shot then. And he was actually buried in Wangaratta Cemetery. He took a little while to die. But Alice received a £50 reward for her part in his capture.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
£50 in...
£50, which wasn't bad in that day.
I was going to say, £50 back in 1865 would have been quite a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly, especially for a young nurse. So she probably became a quite attractive prospect, I imagine, at that stage for a single young woman as well.
Yes, exactly. Well, that was her first brush with history, and perhaps it was her crying in this in a way that enabled Mad Dog to be captured. But
true.
Her second brush with history came when she visited a relative at a place called Dagworth Station near Winton in Queensland. And
indeed.
Guess who is there? None other than Banjo Paterson. Now, why was he there at the same time?
Well, Christine had met on her way there. It's her brother Robert's property, or Bob's property. And en route to the Christmas get-together, she ran into her old friend Sarah Riley in Winton. And Sarah's fiancé was Andrew, or Barton Paterson, or Banjo Paterson. So she invited them to come along.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to the property with Christina, and there were picnics and recitals and, you know, good times were had by all. And Bob was sitting around the waterhole one time telling them about a story about a swagman who'd drowned there once upon a time while he was trying to get away from the police from stealing his sheep. And interesting, Christina was playing a little tune called Craigily, which she said she'd heard at the Warrnambool races.
Right.
And this is when it sort of all started. So Banjo, of course, being talented as well, decided to put some words to it, which we came to know as Waltzing Matilda, sort of our classic folk song. But it became a little bit sordid, Phil, because, you know, the Christina and Banjo spent quite a lot of time together while they did that. It was
aha.
This meeting of, aha,
the
two
old,
creative
the
and
old chestnut
minds.
Of spending too much time at the piano.
Oh, happens every day, doesn't it? Yep. So there they were doing their special liaison. Poor old Sarah, who'd been engaged to him and been with him for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
Was sort of left out in the cold while these two great creative minds, you know, created beautiful music, so to speak.
Hang on. So Banjo, that's right. This is a well-known story, isn't it, that Banjo goes to Dagworth Station near Winton and composes it. So he hears the story of the swagman.
Mm.
At one of the picnics they're on while he's there.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the stories,
one
yes.
One of the stories.
There's a few different versions going around, but, yes, supposedly Bob had told that story.
Yeah.
And so he had that in his mind.
So,
and, of course, Christina played the tune.
And so she, what did she play the tune on? What, on the piano or on something else?
She had an auto harp.
What's that?
Oh, it's. I guess it's a small... smaller version of a harp. So somebody musical is probably more qualified to say than me, but she'd played it on that. And she was a talented pianist as well, but on that occasion she was playing the auto harp.
So she was playing the dum da dum da dum 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 da 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 dum.
That's it. And she'd heard it at the Warrnambool races, of course. Where else?
As you do. So Banjo decides to put some words to it, and
yes.
Waltzing Matilda was born.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, Banjo sort of more or less, as the story goes, then got asked to pack his bags, told he was a cat and to get off the property because,
because he was canoodling with Christina?
Yes, because there was some outrageous flirting going on, outrageous. And Sarah called the engagement off and left, and she was most upset because, naturally, she was Christina's friend and had been with Banjo for 8 years. And
the engagement was called off?
Oh, it was very dramatic. He packed up and left. He was told to pack his bags, told he was a cat, and he left for Brisbane. So, so the music died and everybody went their own way and nobody was happy about it at all.
No.
But, I mean, mind you, Banjo never ended up with Christina, as Banjo fans will know, and he never went back to Sarah. He ended up marrying, about 8 years later, a lady by the name of Alice Walker of Tenterfield, and he had a son and a daughter with Alice.
Okay, so what happens to Christina after this?
Well, Christina carried on, basically. She stayed out there for a little while, and a couple of descendants of Christina said, But basically it served Banjo's right that he got asked to leave. So Christina carried on, and she never married. She stayed a spinster. But she did eventually write a very interesting letter, because It must have been sometime later, when it, 76 years later to be exact, when an original musical manuscript of Christina surfaced. And it put her as the creator of the music. But she, as you said, had heard it elsewhere. So a New South Wales Labor MP, Mr. Morgan, said he wanted the Attorney General to find out who wrote the music and composed it so that whoever was meant to get the royalties could get it. But in the interim, a letter was dug up that had surfaced with that original music manuscript. And it was a letter Christine had penned, but she'd never sent. And it said basically that when Mr. Patterson had returned to Sydney sometime after that encounter, he wrote and asked her to send him the tune. She said, "I'm no musician, but I did my best." And later on, he told me he'd sent it on to a musical friend of his who thought it would make a good bush song with the Swagman lyrics. And it was included in the student's songbook and was frequently sung at community singing. And she put a little line in at the end, I hope I haven't bored you with this, which I think is rather quaint. And Miss McPherson. So, look, it was never really proven, but it wasn't disproven as to who wrote it as such. But basically, I guess to this day, they still believe that the two of them put together that little ditty.
Yeah. So her role in the creation of Waltzing Matilda, even, I mean, it wasn't her music as such.
No.
We've always known that, I know. It wasn't her music. But has her role been clear and recognised?
Look, not so much more than as anything as such as that, basically, you know, other than the fact that she brought that piece of music to his attention, and as a result of it was adapted to be this national piece of music that we know and some people love.
Yes, they do. They do. It's Australia's national song.
I was still a bit sorry for the Jumbuck and the Swagman, just quietly. But,
yes, yeah. Well, that's true. Yes, exactly. There are some ethical questions, I guess.
Yes.
In the song. Where's Christina McPherson's grave?
Well, Christine's buried in St Kilda Cemetery in Dandenong Row.
Right.
And it's quite a modest grave. It's just a little stone marking her there. Chris and I are always amazed, my co-author, are always amazed by the modesty of the graves. Some of these amazing people who've done amazing things, and you go to visit them and they've got this tiny little slab and nothing which marks the contribution that they've made to our life as we know it.
So there's nothing about Waltzing Matilda?
Oh, look, it's just a very small stone with the dates and so forth on there. Mm. Look, you wouldn't look twice at it if you were in the cemetery. You wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even find it most times. It's very subtle. But it is in the Presbyterian section, Compartment D, Grave 250, if anyone wants to have a good look.
Wow. All right. Mm. Helen, terrific to talk. Thank you.
Thank you.
Helen Goltz, the author of Grave Tales, Melbourne, and the story of Christina McPherson.
On ABC Radio, it's Nightlife with Philip Clark.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.